It is important to know what you believe. So at Daleville Christian Church, we claim our faith with an affirmation of our faith taken from God's Word, and this one from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. The reading of God's word for today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. A longer reading, but one I believe will be familiar to you, concerning Jesus' birth. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I stood amazed as I listened to my elders at the Lord's table and in our congregational meeting last week. They all touched on topics that we are all going to take time with this season before Christmas. Elder Pat said last week that it isn't important what day we celebrate that Jesus was born. The most important thing is that we do celebrate that Jesus was born. Celebrate on December 25th or not. Celebrate December 26th or December 23rd or 24th. Celebrate January 6th if you like. You might wonder, why January 6th? Well, that was the original celebration of what we would now call Christmas. January 6th was the oldest celebration we have recorded of what we know as Christmas. Why was that? Well, I'm glad you asked. January 6th was not so much a celebration of Jesus' birth as it was the celebration of the appearance of the baby Jesus to the wise men. But it was the closest thing to celebrating that Jesus was born. And why did they celebrate this? Because by the time the church emerged from persecutions, and we're talking about 300 years after the apostles, the church was mostly made up of Gentiles, people who were not Jews. And as you know from reading, the wise men were not Jews. The wise men came from the eastern lands, Persia, Babylonia, the Arabian Peninsula. They were Middle Eastern people, but they were not Jews. And anyone who had read Matthew's gospel about the Magi could see that it was a plain and clear fact the Magi were not Jews. Israel didn't even have any tradition of Magi at the royal court. Israel had prophets. Israel did not have stargazers. Why look at the stars when the maker of the stars will communicate with you through God's prophets? So these magi, these foreigners, these wise ones, were the first non-Jews to see Jesus and worship him. They saw the infant Jesus. So the people who weren't Jews in the churches celebrated the people who were not Jews, who were the first non-Jewish people to show up to worship the baby Jesus. Why January 6th? Who knows? However, many countries still celebrate January 6th as what is called Three Kings Day. Never mind the fact that the Bible does not claim that the wise men were kings, although the only people who could employ wise men were kings. The Bible also does not claim that there were only three wise men or three kings. The Bible only lists three different gifts. And since everyone likes to jump to conclusions, and no one would ever give a gift of gold if someone else gave a gift of gold, right? You wouldn't give a gift card if you knew someone else was giving a gift card, would you? Of course not. So we say three wise men. Well, someone says there are three wise men. I don't. I have not yet made good on my promise someday to make sure that in my manger scene at home we have about a dozen wise men. But my wife knows that someday that's going to happen. However, this January, I, your pastor, will still let you all sing We Three Kings of Orient Are. It is one of this congregation's favorite Christmas hymns. But please be sure that I will be cringing up here when we sing it. I just haven't found a poetic way to change the words to we, an indeterminate number of foreigners from a royal household of Orient, are bearing gifts, maybe three, maybe more, traverse afar. But as soon as I figure out a way to say all that poetically in time with the music, I will offer the changes to that Christmas hymn. So the first celebration around the baby Jesus was the infant Jesus' appearance to the wise men. The word appearance in the Greek language is epiphany, and that is the name of the celebration on January 6th, the epiphany. The celebration of Jesus' appearance to the Gentile wise men celebrated early on in the churches of the Middle East. In Rome, we only have later records that focus the celebration more on Jesus' birth. And again, I remind you that Rome was not the primary church. The church in Rome was just one of a dozen top churches. Remember the book of Revelation and the seven letters to the seven churches of Asia? Rome's not in that list. Antioch isn't mentioned either, and they were important. Neither's Jerusalem, and they were an important church. The church in Ephesus and Laodicea were certainly central in the early church, and they are mentioned in that book of Revelation. But let's notice the obvious. From early on, even before the end of the time of the persecutions of the church, the birth of Jesus was remembered and celebrated. Celebrate January 6th, celebrate December 25th or some other day, but by all means celebrate the birth of the Savior, Jesus. Let's not forget what the Bible tells us about the shepherds themselves. It's our Bible reading for today. From chapter 2 of Luke, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing." And then verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. According to the Bible, the celebration of Jesus' birth began on day one, the day of Jesus' birth. Here's where our pilgrim forefathers were at fault. The pilgrims were too afraid of what less faithful people would do during a Christmas celebration, so they didn't celebrate Christmas at all. And on Christmas Day 1620, they spent the whole day building their church building in the New World. Now, you may recall that in the last couple of years, businesses have decided to leave off saying Merry Christmas to people because of the associations of that phrase, Merry Christmas, with one particular religion, our religion, the religion of Christianity. I believe that I mentioned in the sermon notes that a number of years ago, probably around Prohibition times, that the clergy of the U.S. campaigned against people wishing each other a Merry Christmas. Why did the clergy do that? Because making merry was too closely associated with alcohol and drunkenness. And I've heard the word used that way. We were making merry last night meant that we were drinking. And I could say, well, you know those clergy, they're a queer sort of people. And then we'd all misunderstand what I was trying to say all over again. But the point is to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Give thanks to God. Glorify God for what God has done. This is a celebration of John 3:16, is it not? Isn't that what Christmas is? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We celebrate that God so loved us that he gave us his Son, Jesus. That's what we celebrate when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. God is giving us Jesus. And God gave us his Son, Jesus, for the purpose of saving us from perishing, to save us from perishing apart from God. We talked last time about why we might celebrate Jesus' birth, that Jesus' birth means that God loves us. Jesus' birth means that God will be with us in the flesh. Jesus' humanity is not a disguise or a virtual reality, not an illusion, not a magic trick, not a mirage. Jesus' humanity is real. Jesus got tired, actually got physically tired. Jesus was tempted. Jesus really had decisions to make and painful ones. God in Jesus wants to be with us, and God is for us. Jesus' birth means that our God loves you. In Jesus' birth, God says that you and I are worth redeeming. And not only are you worth redeeming, but God has come himself to get us back into God's kingdom. God has come in Jesus to get us back to God's household. Now we talk about how Jesus' birth makes that possible. The prophets call Jesus Prince of Peace. From the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And what did we read this morning? That the angels declared to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace." We will come back to that angelic declaration. Jesus said to the disciples, "Peace." John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." We sing about this peace to the world, but do we know what we are singing about? The author and naturalist Henry David Thoreau is supposed to have said on his deathbed, when asked by the local clergyman whether he had made his peace with God, Thoreau stated that he was not aware that he and God had ever quarreled. Henry David Thoreau was a rare man and a very bad theologian. Most people don't think like Henry David Thoreau. Most people are aware or even believe that they do not have a good relationship with God. Or they believe that God doesn't like them, and therefore the relationship is lacking. Pastors and chaplains so often hear this lament. People will sometimes ask, "How bad must I be that this illness happened to me? What was so bad that I did that God is punishing me?" But many people are more certain about their faith. They don't ask those questions. They claim God is punishing them, or they conclude that God doesn't even like them. Sometimes they simply conclude that because their loved one died, or they or their loved ones are the victims of a crime, that God doesn't care about them, or they conclude that God isn't good, or they conclude that God is not good to them. And I confess that as a pastor, most of us are in a hurry to simply say, "Oh no, that's not true." Simply denying the person's experience usually does not work to bring them into better relationship with their Creator and Savior. So maybe I should try something else. Maybe I should say, "Here is what I do know. God has declared his war with you over. God has declared his war with you over. God has declared peace between the two of you, you and God. So why do you feel that God is against you or after you or has it in for you? The Bible tells us that God has declared peace. Peace between you and him. Peace between you and God. And it has everything to do with Jesus." You know, the word peace is used in the New Testament over 90 times. Luke's two-volume work, Luke and Acts, contains more uses of the word peace than any other single book. Only the Apostle Paul uses the word peace more than Luke. Some of the apostles' uses are instructive, and I'm able to quote two of the affirmations of faith that we use here at Daleville Christian Church. One from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 through 19. "He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away." That's us, the Gentiles. "And peace to those who were near." The Jews, God's people, those who are near to God. "For through him," that is through Jesus, "for through Jesus we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." You see, the peace is made possible through Jesus, through him. Through Jesus, we have access to the Heavenly Father. Another of our affirmations of faith comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. I'll just read verse 19. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," that is in Jesus. So yes, Jesus is God and man. The fullness of God was dwelling in Jesus. Verse 20, "and through him," through Jesus, "to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." The terms of the peace with God is the blood of Jesus Christ. But peace has been made through the blood of the cross. So if anyone might ask you, "Have you made your peace with God?" you can say, "No, I have not made my peace with God. Jesus has made my peace with God. We do not make peace with God. God is making his peace with us." God so loved the world that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, whoever accepts the terms of this peace through the blood of Jesus, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The angels said to the shepherds on earth, peace. Peace between who? Peace between God and humanity. The good news is for you. The angel said, I bring you good news of a great joy. God is making his peace with you. Celebrate the birth of the Savior Jesus. Amen.